4. I don't always do that when I preach on Sunday night, but I think it would be appropriate for us to just stand together and read this. If you want to read along, I love it when you read audibly. You know, there's a lot of ways to learn, and some people learn better in certain ways. Some people learn well by just hearing. Some people learn better by visual. You know, but when we can get the audio and the video, when we can read it, you know, my wife laughs at me sometimes when I'm reading, and more so when I'm reading the Bible. But she says, I'm reading, she's doing something else, I'm reading, and she's saying, "Your lips are moving. Your lips are moving." And I'm reading, and that's just the way my motor skills are. I know you can read. A lot of people can read without their lips moving, but when I'm reading, my lips are moving. Not always making a sound, but when you're reading it, you're seeing it, and then you're speaking it too. We're just getting more of it that way, aren't we? All right, let's read it together. James chapter 4. We'll read down through verse number 12. Verse number 7 is where I want to begin. James chapter 4, verse 7. Let's read it together. "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge." Oh, hallelujah. "There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another?" Praise the Lord. May the Lord bless his word. You may be seated. Man, I tell you, James, always in his writing, he has a way of just really nailing it. And then after he nails it, he double downs on it. Is that the right word? You read his epistle, and it's that way. I mean, he just moves in and takes it all the way. If that's not good enough, he'll hit it again. Amen. And he's talking about judging your brother. And in other words, if you judge, if you put yourself to be a judge, then you yourself are not a doer of the law. You've made yourself something else. Praise God. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be, and James speaks here a little bit later. He talks about those that are a hearer of the word and those that are a doer. Amen. And I want to be a doer. How about you? Praise God. That first word that we read there in chapter 4, verse number 7, he said, submit. Somebody say submit. Say that again. Submit. Boy, you know, we ought to say that one more time. Submit. You know why? It's a whole lot easier to say than it is to do it. How many is going to help the preacher preach tonight? Come on, some of you are looking around. Some of you not really engaged here just yet. Hey man, if there's anything that gets my goat and it kind of bothers me, and I know this is going out on Spreaker, and I just come from a preacher's meeting, and I'm amazed at our types of people. Somebody can be preaching good, can be preaching the Bible, just be laying it out there and just showing you things, and people sit like they're bored stiff. But as soon as somebody hits some little something, like some little issue or some little, I want to say, dude, what's wrong with you? I mean, why wouldn't you doing that when they were talking about submit? You know why? When it comes right down to it, it's a lot harder to do the word. It's a lot easier to get on something else. It's our rallying cries. Come on now. Man, this is not even in my notes. I didn't get up here to preach this tonight at all. But, amen, he said, submit yourselves, therefore, to God and resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. How many would like to get away from him? How many of you, he's pressed your mind? We heard people tonight in this testimony service called him out. He's a liar. I heard people say that tonight. And we know he's a liar. And we know he's an accuser of the brethren. And we know he does all those things. So why do we listen to him? Submit yourselves therefore to God, then resist him. Amen. There's a divine order to do this. You don't resist him first and then submit. First you submit to God, then you resist him, and he'll pack his stuff and he'll get out. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Man. I get to thinking of so many things. When I get up here to preach, I think I'm going to try to be short, and then all kinds of things come to my mind, you know. But y'all's a good friend. Y'all worship with him for a while, Brother Robbie, up there at Dryden Road in Ohio. And some of you, I only met the man once or two times. His name is Joe Bill Houston. Now we know Brother Bill Houston, but Joe Bill's another, he's another something else. I mean, he just is. I'm looking for a word to try to describe him, but he just Joe Bill. That's just all I know. And he has his ways and his Kentucky backwoods ways of saying things. And I heard him one time. It might have been one of the times that Brother Bill brought him here. He said, I get so, and I won't get it all right, but putting in my words, irritated at people that get up in testimony service and talk about what all the devil's doing to them. He said, they get up and say, the devil rode me all day long, and I've just been into it. And he said, I tell you what, he said, if the devil's riding you all day long, he said, you must be an easy stepper with a good saddle. He said, there ain't no devil going to ride me around all day long, because I'm going to buck and I'm going to shout and I'm going to kick. And if he rides me, it'll be the roughest ride he's ever had. Some of you guys need to start giving him a little rougher ride. He ain't paying for your expensive gas. He's not paying your doctor bills. He's not paying your psychiatrist bills. You're giving him too easy of a ride. Come on here. Let's buck him off. Let's throw him off. Let's resist him. Let's put him in his place. Well, I may have to take another text and preach a little different tonight. I didn't know it was going to get this way. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God. This is where I need to be. And it does not matter. It matters not, my friend, where you are on your spiritual journey with Christ. Does not matter. I don't care if you've had the Holy Ghost for 50 or 60 or 70 years. This scripture still yet applies to you wherever you are. If you're unsaved, it applies to you. If you just got saved, it applies to you. If you're somewhere not quite sure where you are, it applies to you. Draw nigh to God. And when you draw nigh to him, you invoke a spiritual principle. You invoke a spiritual law that is just as real and as powerful as the law of gravity. If I drop something up here, if I turn it loose, you know what's going to happen to it? You don't have to throw it. You don't have to chunk it. It just that law is working, and it's prevalent right now. And if you drop something, it's going down. And so when you draw nigh to God, you invoke something that is as real as the law of gravity. Amen. I felt like the Lord showed me this when I was reading this, and I just had a little while to study here this evening. Amen. You invoke the law of, and I don't know exactly what to call it, but if you draw nigh to him, then he'll draw nigh to you. Or the Bible's a lie. Amen. Draw nigh to God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. But I better give you my title for the CD, man. I want to title this Getting Closer to the House. Getting Closer to the House. Praise God. Draw nigh to God. He'll draw nigh to you. Amen. Draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn. Amen. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall... Here it is again. Another law. You do that, and He shall lift you up. Amen. Amen. Somebody say up. Amen. Somebody say up. Hallelujah. Would you like to be lifted up from where you are tonight? Man, I wish somebody would get a hold of this in the house tonight. Amen. If you will, if you'll take a step toward Him, He'll take a step toward you. Amen. Somebody said if you'll take one step, He'll take two. Well, that's a homemade scripture. The Bible don't say that. Amen. But I have a feeling if you take one step, He'll probably move 1,000 miles. I wish somebody would say hallelujah in here. Amen. God can take bigger steps than you can. God's got more power than you do. You just got to invoke the principle and the law that He said He would do and move closer to Him. It's just that simple. Draw nigh to God. He will. Will He, Brother Hugh? I heard you say, He really will draw nigh to you. Oh, thank you, Jesus. There is something about the act of turning toward God that causes His attention to be turned toward you. Amen. The simple act of turning. Praise God. I've quoted it numbers of times through the years with one of my mentors and heroes of the faith, Brother Crawford, Brother Havis. He said, I heard him say this one time about this verse. He said, I would rather be 1,000 miles from God with my face turned toward Him than to be 2 feet from God with my back turned to Him. Oh, do you understand the principle that's at work when you turn from wherever you are? Oh, feel the Holy Ghost. Did y'all feel that right then? I feel the Holy Ghost moving in. Hey, God's wanting to do something for somebody tonight. Sure as I'm here, sure as I'm trying to preach this little message, God wants to do something here tonight. Amen. Turn toward Him. Praise God. Amen, Brother Theron, I love you. I have a lot of confidence in you. But I kind of seen something in this last revival. It kind of seemed like maybe you might have been turning, maybe looking toward Him. I'm not saying you've had your back turned to Him, but there's just something about when you start drawing nigh to Him, you start moving closer to Him. Amen. When I see tears running down people's cheeks. Amen. Don't worry about that, my friend. There's nothing wrong with tears. Amen. Tears is a language that God understands. And it don't matter if you weep. It doesn't matter if you cry before Him. Matter of fact, that's another way of seeing that God's getting closer to me and I'm getting closer to Him. Draw nigh to God. He will. He will. Somebody say He will. He will draw nigh unto thee. Amen. Oh, I'm going to try to preach a little faster here now. In your mind, if you want to turn, Luke chapter 15, very familiar. I'm sure some of you probably already figured out where I was going with this. In Luke chapter 15, Jesus gives that parable of that man. There was a man that had 2 sons. Evidently, they were farmers, Brother Art. Evidently, they must have lived on a large estate. I can only imagine they must have been prosperous and wealthy and kind of had it together. Amen. Even this great farmer was going to leave something behind for his children to walk on and continue on in the calling of the business he was in. Here's a man that had 2 sons. Amen. Amen. The elder and the younger. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. One day the younger comes to his father and he says, give me the portion of goods that fall to me. I want my part now, Dad. I need it right now. I want to go somewhere. I'm tired of this farm. I'm tired of the rules. I'm just tired of something's roaming in me. Amen. Something's working in me and I want to go. God, oh God, help us. We preached this text. No telling how many times in my ministry I've preached about the prodigal son. But if the Holy Ghost would help me one more time, I'd like to tell all of these good young folks again. Amen. If I could roll back the clock about 5 years ago, amen, or 6 years ago, there's some precious souls, amen, even very, very close to me, that I wished I had the opportunity to preach the prodigal son to my boys one more time and ask God to deal with them and ask the Holy Ghost to arrest them. Amen. I don't have that privilege tonight, but I have it to you. And I'm telling you, it doesn't matter. Amen. They're not happy. They're not enjoying what they're doing. Amen. Not for 1 minute you'll ever make me believe that. Oh, God, help us here tonight. But something stirs many times in the hearts of young people. If I could just get away, if I could just break loose, I'd try something different. Amen. Father, give him his goods. Not many days he took his substance and went into a far country. Amen. I got to hurry because this is really not where I'm going to preach tonight. There he wasted his goods. That's always what happens when people go away from God. Amen. They invoke the opposite of what I just tried to show you a while ago. They invoke another law. Amen. When you start taking steps away from God, and anybody you've ever seen backslide, they move quicker than you thought. They get further away in a shorter amount of time than you imagined. Amen. And even it surprises themselves of what they do and how far they go in a short time, because just the reverse of what I showed you has been enacted in their life because they have took a step away. Amen. And so God moves away. Oh, are y'all helping me preach here tonight? So he ended up a lot further from home than what he thought. Sin takes you farther than you want to go. Sin keeps you longer than you want to stay. Sin costs you far more than you want to pay. Are you ready to pay the price for sin? Amen. Are you ready to lose all your substance? Amen. To have a good time, to go the ways of the world, to do something different? Amen. No, no, no. Don't do it. Draw nigh to God. He's got a whole lot more what Father has. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Ends up in the hog pen. His money's gone. His wealth's gone. His inheritance is gone. Nothing. I mean, even despairs of life itself. With no way of income, no way to get back what he's lost. It's all gone. I don't know how he lost it. It just says with riotous living. Amen. In a foreign country. There's nothing left for him to do. No homeless shelter. No place to go to. He has to find something to join himself to. You're not making me believe for 1 minute that beautiful young ladies and handsome young men want to pierce their body with horrible piercings and ugly marks of tattoos. There's nothing even beautiful about it all over their body. You know why they do that? They want to join themselves with something. Amen. And Brother Todd, I think you could vouch for this tonight. Whatever it was that pulled you in your life at that point to get in gangs was just to be an attachment to something. To be a part of something. Amen. So he joins himself to a citizen of that country. Amen. How many knows when you join yourself to somebody else? I know I'm already waiting out too long. I will always do this. Do y'all pray for your pastor to not preach so long? When you join yourself to that citizen, then you become a servant to him and you do what he says. So he says, today, you're going into my field to feed the swine. Mr. Hog Grower, what about breakfast, buddy? The servants at our house, Mama feeds them. They get breakfast, dinner, supper. We take care of our servants, and now I'm your servant. You're sending me in the field to feed swine. How about breakfast? What are you talking about? Not down here in this foreign country. We don't do like your dad does his servants. No man gave unto him. He says, if I'm going to get through this day, I got to have something to eat. So he thought about eating the pig food. Amen. He would have fain filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. Right here is where I need to turn it now. He says, oh, enough of this, boys. Kick the pail, jump the rail, and hit the trail. Kick the pail, jump the rail, and hit the trail. Amen. Enough of this. Yeah. The way the old timers used to call their hogs, they said, Suey. I don't know where they got that. I don't know where it come from. That's what Ralph Campbell said when he got out of the hog pen. He said he kicked the slop bucket. I can't say it like he did, but some of y'all heard him. Because he'd rear way back and say, Suey. Drop the pail, jump the rail, and hit the trail. I'm going back home. Amen. You know what happened? You know, oh, God, help me to preach right now. I believe the very minute that he dropped the pail, jumped the rail, hit the trail, something happened over at Father's house. I wish somebody shout hallelujah right now. Amen. Something happened. Amen. Something started working. And all of a sudden, Dad started thinking about son that he hadn't seen in a long time. Because the scripture tells us that while he was yet a great way off, amen, the father had already moved out of the house and he'd already moved out to the end of the driveway and he'd already looked down the road. Amen. Why? Because he invoked the spiritual promise that if I draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to me. Amen. Aren't you glad he did? He saw him coming. Amen. And the scripture also says that when he seen him, he ran to meet him and he fell on his neck and he kissed him. And he embraced him and he said, come on home, boy. Oh, hallelujah. Anyway, kill the fatty calf. It's meat to make merry, get the party started, get the music going. Amen. Oh, I wish I could move some of you. I'm really trying so hard. Maybe I could have a little bit more volume back here. Oh, God, help us now. I'm trying to help you here tonight. I already told you, it doesn't matter where you are. You can go toward him. Draw nigh to God. You're not so spiritual and so high that you can sit through this and say, I don't need it. Wherever you are, when you get up, you'll invoke a spiritual principle and a law. He will come toward you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, don't you love him tonight, church? Amen. You know, again, I mentioned, I'll invoke Brother Havis's name again. I'd only preached Brother Ken about 3 or 4 times. Maybe 4 or 5. I just had started preaching. And Brother Crawford was preaching a meeting at Pea Ridge, Arkansas. Down there where your folks is from, Sister Rachel. And Brother Tommy Carpenter was pastoring there then. And we was there for one night. Brother, I was there because, I mean, if it was in driving distance, Brother Havis was preaching, I tried to make sure I was there. And so that next morning, or maybe that night, you know, and I wasn't expecting to preach. I just preached a few times. Brother Tommy Carpenter asked me to preach that next day in the day service, which I did. And extremely, I mean, if you can imagine, one of my heroes of the faith is sitting there. I mean, at that time, Brother Havis's ministry was at the pinnacle, at the top. I mean, he was just well known all across the United States, preaching over 100 camp meetings. I mean, just he was that kind. And I was so nervous even trying to preach in front of him. But that day I preached on the prodigal son, and it, matter of fact, some of the things I'm using tonight, I will use things that he told me. I mean, he He just, it sparked something in him, and he'd walk away from my table while we was eating, and he'd come back, and he'd get down on one knee, you know. Now, son, I tell you, look at this right here. Look at this right here. This, you know, he's telling me about more about this prodigal son. So now I'm gonna start pulling from memory some of those things that he shared with me so long ago. And he said that he heard a man say that this father had two backslid boys. Two backslid boys. Had the elder and the younger. Well, I had said some things in my message that was complimentary of the elder brother. And that intrigued him. And he started helping me point out things about the elder brother that was quality characteristics. Are y'all still here? Because I've settled down here a little bit, doesn't mean you're going away from me, does it? Hallelujah. So he's talking about it. He said, listen. He said they were in there having a party. He said the silverware was his. Amen. Talking about the elder brother. He said if they were playing a piano, the piano was his. The house they were having the party in was his. Amen. And he started enumerating everything they were using. He said, that matter of fact, the fatted calf was his. Amen. He just had never got around to partaking of it. Oh, I hope I'm helping somebody here tonight. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I'm still talking about somebody. Remember my title, getting closer to the house. I mean, you know what happened to him? The prodigal son got close enough to the house that the father just took him right on in. I mean, but now this elder brother has been working all day long. He's been toiling. He's never missed a day. He's never took a vacation. I mean, he has been faithful to his father. But all of a sudden now, he is getting closer to the house. Man, he gets close enough to hear music. He calls a servant out. And he says, what in the world is going on inside of there? Nobody told me about a party. Nobody told me what was going on. What in the world's going on here? And the servant's rejoicing, and he said, your brother's home, he made it back, and your father's rejoicing, and he killed the fatted calf, and we're having a time. Praise God. You're what? They're doing what? He devoured the father's living with harlots. And he's getting that kind of treatment. And I've been here every day and haven't missed a day of work. I've kept the farm going. I've kept every... Matter of fact, we couldn't even be having a party if it wasn't for me. That's the reason a lot of churches aren't getting anybody saved. We got everything so clean and so pure and our doctrine so wonderful and there's no holes in it and everything's fine. And if we get any sinners in here and if they got any baggage at all, if their marriage is not right and their career is not right and they got all these, some of these things I've mentioned, all these things are not right, then by the way, you all know this is a holiness church. Amen. You know what that boy needed, Brother Arnold? You know what that good boy needed? You know what that faithful boy needed? Brother Hugh, you know what that hard-working boy needed? All he needed was a visit from his father. Oh, wish somebody right now would get a hold of this. The same father that ran to meet the prodigal. I got it in my notes. You can read it. It said he went out. Oh, I wish somebody would shout now. Somebody goes back in and says, your other son's out there. Amen. That father has the same love for the prodigal as he does, amen, the one that stayed on the farm. Hallelujah. Amen. I got to be honest with you now. I'm confessing my faults. I've been saved a long time. And I got saved when I was young. But there's been a lot of times, Sister Sherry, all I needed, I just needed the father to come out and talk to me a little bit. Amen. And help me with my attitude a little bit. And work on my spirit a little bit. Amen. And the reason people get a sour attitude around the church is because they don't have that fellowship with the Father. Hallelujah. God, I wish I could do something in this house tonight to make somebody say, I think I'll get closer to the house. I think I'll close in. Amen. It doesn't matter if you're coming from the hog pen or if you're coming from the field. Our Father is the same, and He's standing with the same love, and He will meet you where you're willing to come to. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Amen. I know the backslid, a harlot chasing boy, had to come home and repent. I get that. I understand that. I'm not worthy to be called your son. I've devoured your living with harlots. Make me a hired servant. Amen. Just give me something to get by. But you know well and good, that is not what the Father done. He gave him the fatted calf. He put shoes on his feet. He put the ring on his hand. He fully reinstated him. Oh, somebody give God some praise, would you, tonight? Oh, amen. I want you to praise Him for just a little bit. Amen. I'm getting close. I'm almost through preaching. But I want you to worship. Could we worship God in the message tonight? Hey! Amen. Amen. Why don't you give Him another praise, church? Oh, aren't you glad? Aren't you glad you have a Father? Aren't you glad we have a Father? Aren't you glad for the prodigals that made it back? Amen. But aren't you glad for the ones that stayed faithful, that just every once in a while in a good revival, they might need a little attitude adjustment, but thank God the loving Father will do that for you. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Amen. He arose and came to his father. When he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion on him, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Now the elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh, it's my title, getting closer to the house. Drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. He was angry. Would not go in for a while. Therefore came his father out. Would somebody say that with me? Therefore came his father out. Let's say that again. Therefore came his father out. Oh, brother. Where would I be? I got saved when I was about 6 or 7 years old. 8, 9, I don't know, somewhere in there. But where would I be tonight, Brother Jimmy, if my father hadn't came out in a few camp meetings, a few revivals? Amen. A few Sunday nights and testimony service. He comes out and he says, work on this boy. Work on this a little bit, Bruce. I mean, I'm not saying that disrespectful. I'm just saying that's the way, because he's your father. He'd say that. Work on this boy. Work. Come on, Theron. Work on that. Work on that. Work on that. Come on. Man, I love you. I love you just as much as I do the prodigal son. I'm so glad he's back. But man, I know you've been faithful. I know you've hung in there. Man. That's the reason your wife could stand up tonight and testify. God worked it out. I'm going to be able to work here and keep insurance. I'm going to start over here and get the insurance is going to go on. Praise God. Praise God. He's going to work it out for you, sis. He's going to work it out. It doesn't matter how far you came from. You got a father that loves you. Amen. He loves you more than Larry ever thought about it or he ever could. Amen. God, our Father, our Heavenly Father, why don't we love on Him tonight? Why don't we worship Him? Why don't we give Him some praise in the house tonight? Amen. He wants to meet us. He wants fellowship. Amen. It doesn't matter. You can be in church and sitting on the pew and never missing a service and be out of fellowship with the Father. Never enjoy anything He has. Never receive anything from Him. Just enjoy the air conditioning, the padded pews, and the good singing. But He wants more than that. Man, I didn't know I was going to feel this good preaching tonight about draw nigh to God. Draw nigh to God. Invoke the power, the principle of the law, and He will draw nigh to you. I'm almost done. Somebody can get on the piano. I'm gonna try to. I probably can't. My voice. Somebody better. I want somebody to come up and sing that old song my dad used to sing. Why don't you come on into this house? Oh, why don't you come on into this house? It's raining on the inside. Come on. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. It's another thing Brother Havis told me. He said, the father went out, entreated him, let him know he loved him. And then he said, this is what Brother Havis said. He said, I know the Bible don't say it. But he said, he's on one knee talking to me. I'm trying to eat. I'm trying to hear everything he's saying. He said, I know the Bible don't say it. But he said, I think that elder brother says, Dad, as soon as I get my shower, I'll be on in there. I know the Bible don't say that, but something tells me that fellowship with the Father, showing His love to him, says, I'll clean up. I'll get these dirty clothes off. I'll be in there to join you in a little while. Amen. Oh, would you stand right now and worship God? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost working here today. I think somebody's on the line right now. If you can't tell, I'm trying to reel it on in. Come on, folks. Come on, church, help me. I kind of feel a little tug right now, sort of feel a little pull here. Hey, man, if the church will pray with me a little bit, I think we can coax somebody on in, sit down. It might be real good where you're at. Amen. God might really be helping you right where you're at. But I tell you, it's better on the inside. Oh, you might as well get those clothes off. Might as well get those work clothes off and get on in. Amen. And let's have church, praise God. Let's have a party in the house of God. Amen. Everything that I have, son, that's what the father told him. Everything that I have is thine. Amen. You could have had a calf anytime you wanted it. You could have made merry with your friends anytime you wanted to. I really like this. He said, thou art ever with me. Amen. That's enough for every saint of God that's been saved a long time to shout and say, God, our Father is ever with me. And all that I have is yours, Brother Arnold. Everything I have, it's all yours right here. Just come on. Oh, we sacrifice, we miss out. Hey, man, we can have better services. I believe we could grow more. I think we could see more done if we would start realizing this is what we already have. And God's got enough love to go out to the prodigal. Hey, man, we just need to keep having church while the prodigals are out. Keep enjoying the blessings of God. And remember, the Father loves everybody all the same. Come on now, He does. Oh, my. I can't tell you what it would do to me if my lost children walked down the aisle tonight. I tell you what I'd be like. I'd be like that father. I'd be running. Oh, that same father that wants to save my boys is just as excited about you getting a blessing, Brother Brandon, tonight. Oh, brother, what it would do for the father, my brother. Brother Joel had another one of those kicking spells and tambourine shaking spells. Hallelujah. Amen. Why not? I said, why not, church? I said, why not? Thou art ever with me in all that I have. All that I have. Oh, I'm still trying to encourage you all. Oh,
Can you imagine all? Can you imagine all that God has? And we're trying to get along on a little bit. Amen. Saying, let me take the pain for a while. He's already suffered it. Amen. Let me do something else. Let me do this. And God is saying, all that I have, I'm ready to give you revival. I'm ready to give you a harvest of souls. I'm ready to do something in your ministry. I'm ready, whatever you are. Amen. You might as well come on in. You might as well come on in the house. Amen. Draw closer. The closer you get to it. Amen. Evidently, when the man got out of the hog pen, God moved on the father many miles away. And he went to looking and watching and waiting. Amen. And when he hears his son is in the field, having an attitude problem, he had enough love to go out and help him. So wherever you are in your experience, God wants to help you. Draw nigh, says to me, and I will draw nigh to you. Sing it. The altars are open. Come on, we might as well have revival again here tonight. Man, you'll be so glad. You'll be excited if you'll just come on in. Show God you're ready to walk in the door tonight. Woo, hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Why don't you come on in? Make up your mind. God's got enough to go around. Why don't you? Well, come on in this house. Well, come on into the house.